This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Audie Cornish. The fight against prostitution in the U.S. is changing dramatically. Police are beginning to treat prostitutes, especially those under 18, not as criminals, but as victims of sex trafficking. While the FBI is behind this new approach, the day-to-day work of finding victims and helping them off the streets largely falls to local police and state troopers. NPR's Jessica Popovac recently shadowed a state task force during a sex trafficking sting operation and came back with this story.
It's 5 p.m. at the Criminal Investigation Headquarters just outside of Baltimore. Maryland State Police Corporal Chris Hyde is trolling online escort ads. Hyde is going undercover, looking for child prostitutes. He's setting up fake dates all over the area.
Hi, is this Coco? How are you? Good. This is Mark. I was calling to see if I got any time available.
Hyde sits in his cubicle, surrounded by city and county police officers and two FBI agents.
Would you do half hours or hours?
But they aren't looking to make arrests. Not tonight. Their mission tonight is to find prostitutes and get them into victim assistance programs.
Hi, is this Lala?
They also want to get the pimps.
Are you working tonight?
These officers are part of a growing movement in law enforcement. One that sees all underage and much adult prostitution as sex trafficking, where pimps manipulate and control their victims, physically or otherwise. All over the country, law enforcement agencies like these are joining together, along with victims' advocates and social service providers. They are creating anti-human trafficking task forces and going after the problem with every tool available to them.
15 minutes? Okay. Sounds good. I'll see you in a little bit. So she's going to text me the address, and then we'll wait, and then we'll head out.
By 6 p.m., Corporal Hyde has lined up a few dates and is ready to go.
You know where you're going, Dave?
I got no GPS.
Who else ride with you?
Mark in.
The team heads out in three unmarked police cars. There's a long night ahead. By the end of it, they'll visit three motels and talk to five young women. Some of the girls they meet will say they're doing sex work because they want to. Some will say they have no other way to make a living. But two of them will take the officers up on their offer and get off the streets. Corporal Hyde takes off by himself in the lead car. I ride with Sergeant Ron Riggin. It's one of the last times that Riggin will go out on a sting before he retires from a long career tracking and rescuing missing children and runaways. Most of the sex trafficking victims he finds fit one or both of those categories.
We've taken girls out of hotel rooms, 12 and 13 years old, up to 17 years old. And so we've seen a little bit of everything.
I asked Sergeant Riggin how it is that teenagers wind up selling sex online. He says that it isn't always about the money.
I think they're running away from something at home, whether it's emotional or physical abuse or a lack of love, or you can call it what you will, but
my dad said there was a black male.
The other teams have arrived at the motel and are waiting in their cars across the street. They see two females and one male leave the room that Hyde's so-called date is in. That group heads for a motel next door. Riggin says the only male is most likely the pimp. Some of the officers follow the three that left. I stay with Riggin and an FBI agent who follow Corporal Hyde.
Where's the stairwell?
He's probably on this side.
They asked me to stay outside. A few minutes later, Riggin emerges.
What's going on in there?
We're trying to get her to tell us who's in the room. She's a little scared right now, so...
She won't reveal much about the other three in the other motel. The officers say they can connect her with victim services, but she refuses. But when they run her ID, she has an arrest warrant in a nearby county. Riggin calls that county's headquarters, and an officer comes to pick her up.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Hyde says she was hardened and not very cooperative, so he just gave her his card in case she changes her mind. He hopes that with some time and distance, she just might. Sometimes, he says, in the heat of the moment, girls don't know what to do but act tough. But Riggin says that isn't always the case.
Yeah. We've had people reach out to us in the room, mm-hmm. even with other people there, for help. Right. And they do it sort of slickly, but just recently one of them did to Chris, and he told me I'm going to go interview her in another room. I said, sure, but she wanted help, and she wanted out. And so that's a good day. Yeah. We get somebody who wants to help.
Riggin and Hyde move on to the motel next door, where their partners are already questioning the other three people. One of those girls, with greasy hair and cut-off jeans, says she hasn't eaten for 2 days. The second girl, wearing a see-through gauze dress, is crying and chain-smoking. Since they don't have any hard evidence against the suspected pimp, they have to let him go. But the girls are a different story. The girls, they want to get to a safe place. After some conversation, the first girl accepts a ride to a safe house where, in the morning, she'll meet with a counselor. But first, she needs some food. That, Regan can help with. We head to the drive-thru at the KFC Taco Bell next door.
How far did you make it in school?
I'm still in high school, 11th grade.
Are you still enrolled?
Mm.
When was the last time you went?
Before she gets her food, we learn that the other girl has also agreed to come to the safe house. The officers don't expect either of them to give up their pimps tonight, but they hope that eventually they'll come around and maybe even help law enforcement build a case against him.
And then, instead of saying, is that your trafficker 10 feet away from you, in front of him, we can get out of the situation and we can take days, weeks, or months before they might, you know, reveal something to us, might disclose. Sometimes this is what it takes. But she's definitely worth, she's 18. Maybe we have a shot.
Another officer agrees to drive them to the safe house. So Regan says goodbye.
Take your chalupas. Don't let us see you back out here.
Okay.
These are the only two girls they managed to rescue tonight. Two others had warrants and were taken in. Another two said they wanted to continue doing sex work.
As you saw today, we got a little lucky. We got a couple girls, maybe. Hopefully they'll stay clean and get out of the game. And so it's good to be able to go home and say you actually helped someone.
Lots of nights are like this. Small victories, almost buried by a sense that there's just so much left to be done. But the intelligence they gather helps support larger stings. In July, a national sweep, spearheaded by the FBI and fed by intelligence from task forces just like this one, led to the arrest of more than 100 suspected pimps and their associates. They rescued 105 young people that weekend. Jessica Popovac, NPR News.
This is NPR.